Welcome to Knowles Abroad, a podcast by Florida State University International Programs. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Zoe. And we're your hosts. On this podcast, we'll talk about study abroad from the perspective of the students, faculty, staff, and alumni who make it an experience worth sharing. We'll also bring you travel tips and fun facts from around the globe. For this episode, we talk with Cindy Evans, a PhD art history student who is teaching abroad in Florence, Italy this summer. Cindy talks about her international and study abroad background, her experience seeing Florence's art for the first time alongside her students, and how study abroad is truly a life-changing experience. Let's go to our conversation with Cindy now. Hi, Cindy. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing really well. We're excited to talk to you. First off, can you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yes, happy to. So I'm Cindy Evans. I am currently teaching an art history course at the Florence Study Center in Italy. I'm a PhD student, so that I'm a little unique in that, that I'm actually a student myself, as well as teaching. And yeah, I'm here and loving it.
Awesome. Can you give us an overview of your international background?
Yeah, I would be happy to. So I'm actually technically a dual citizen. I was born in Germany. My mom is fully German, grew up her whole life there, and my dad's American. They met, he was stationed in Germany, and they met and got married and had some kids over there. Yeah, so I have a lot of experience traveling to see my family, and so I went almost every year growing up to visit them. So I traveled a lot, but not really outside of Germany. It was just like visiting my grandma, you know, and my family over there. So yeah, I feel like I've traveled a lot, but I didn't really travel much outside of Germany until I got a little older. But then I made that a priority for sure.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about that travel? What did you do later on?
Yeah. So as I got older, I realized how incredible Europe is, the fact that everything is so close. And so I begged my mom to have us go somewhere other than just kind of the typical places we had been visiting around where my family was. So I took my first like more major trip. We went to Paris when I was 15, I think. And yeah, and I just loved traveling after that. And so I eventually, when I got a little bit older, when I was like 16 and 17, I traveled Germany by myself for months at a time. So I feel like I had kind of extensive traveling, independent traveling experience pretty young. And then when I went into my undergrad, I eventually realized I had this love of art and art history specifically. And I decided that I wanted to do an internship because I was developing my German skills and I wanted to develop more of my art history and my curatorial kind of museum experience because I hadn't worked in a museum before. So I ended up doing an internship in Germany through the study abroad office at the place I did my undergraduate degree, which is at BYU in Utah. So I spent 3 months working at a museum in Schwäbisch Hall, Germany. And it was like one of the coolest experiences of my life. I loved it. And ended up working at the study abroad office after that, which is really amazing.
Awesome. That's so cool. So you mentioned studying abroad and then working at the study abroad office as a student. Can you talk about the importance of international education and what that means to you?
Yeah, for sure. I really feel, I mean, I know it sounds a little cliche, but I feel like that was a life-changing experience for me. Even though I had been to Germany a million times, I think it's very different when you're by yourself, and not only by yourself, but you're also working in an international context. That's just very different than visiting somewhere. I feel kind of similar now. I feel like my internship and living here in Italy are very similar in the sense that I'm not a tourist. I mean, I feel like a tourist sometimes, but I do feel a little bit more ingratiated in the actual happenings of the city, which is the greatest way to experience the city, in my opinion. I really feel like it's kind of perspective changing. You realize that there's just so many different people and perspectives in the world. You see kindness every day just from like a human level. It's really cool to see like how kind people can be, even if I don't, you know, because I don't speak Italian. I speak fluent German, but I have literally no Italian to speak of. I learned how to say thank you when I was here, and I say it constantly, grazie, all the time, and people are very kind, which is actually really cool to see. As well as just seeing kind of the different culture that is here, you know, like, especially when you're comparing an American kind of perspective on the world versus maybe an Italian perspective. You know, I'm in this city that is just thousands of years old, basically. which is just something that you don't have in the US. And that makes a difference. I feel like I think about that a lot when I'm walking down the road. I'm like, wow, this has been here for so long. And I'm just so grateful that I'm able to see those things just like on a daily basis, even when I'm not seeking it out, right? It's just, it's around me all the time.
That was one of the coolest things for me the first time I went to Europe, was just thinking about how I felt like I couldn't even comprehend how old the things around me were, because I had never experienced that before. Like, nothing in my context was as old as the things I was just walking by on the street. So that's a really cool, really cool point.
Right.
So you mentioned that you are also a PhD student. Can you tell us about your research and what got you interested in studying what you're researching now?
Yeah, definitely. So I kind of talked before, I have this love of Germany because of my background. And I, for a long time, kind of struggled with exactly, I knew I wanted to study something within the realm of German history, but I wasn't really sure what I wanted to study. And then really in the last 2 years, I became deeply invested in kind of the post-war era on an international scale, because I feel like a lot of the things that you study, especially when you're talking about like the late 60s, have a lot of resonances with what's going on today, a lot of activism, a lot of political unrest, that kind of thing. And I actually went about doing this research paper that turned into what is my dissertation now. So my concentration, to back up, my concentration is on post-war Germany specifically. And then my dissertation topic is based around this art group. They're known as the Effect Group. It was four artists that were collaborating together in an effort to create these artworks that were really supposed to be democratic in nature. They were supposed to be anti-capitalist, they kind of wanted to remove individual identity. They wanted to work as a collaborative group, and they wanted to kind of echo these democratic models within their own artistic practice, as well as on a political scale. They were very politically involved, specifically with the German student revolutions that were going on internationally. And they had a lot of connections with the non-aligned movement that was coming out of Yugoslavia, which is in Eastern Europe. And I try to focus a lot in my research and in the way that I go about teaching on marginalized histories. Basically, I try to focus on certain narratives that are normally ignored for normally political reasons or what have you. So basically, the non-aligned movement came out of Yugoslavia, which is in this context of the Cold War, which basically you have the US and Europe. They're, you know, kind of the capitalist powerhouse, and you have the Soviet Union, which is this communist powerhouse. But most people don't know that there was a lot of people that opposed this binary and wanted to find their own path. And so the non-aligned movement was kind of one of the biggest ones that were opposing this. So I talk about how that manifests in artistic practice, because even when you're talking from an art historical perspective, most people will tell you there's this binary after the war of abstract expressionism or art informel on like the Western side and socialist realism on the communist side. But that's just not true. There was lots of other things going on. So my research kind of focuses on those marginalized histories. My group specifically has never had anybody write about them. There's like little blurbs about them here and there, but there's no book, there's no paper, nobody talks about them. And largely I would argue it's because they were very anti-capitalistic, because they destroyed everything after they made it. So you couldn't make money on it. So if you can't make money on it, you're not going to write about it. So so that's what my project is. And they had, like I was saying, they had lots of connections with Yugoslavia, but they also had connections in Italy, in France, all over Europe, as well as South America and Japan, actually. So that's something that's really cool about being in Italy, is because they have a lot of works that were in the same movement here in Italy, that I'm actually planning a trip to go to Milan to do some more research with that, and to visit some of the works that had an impact on their artistic practices. So
that's awesome. It's so cool that your research has taken you abroad and it's based internationally as well. So shifting a little bit, we want to ask you, what do you expect to gain from this experience teaching abroad?
Yeah, that's a good question. I feel like I think it's such a cool experience, and it's almost a little strange to say that this is the first time I'm doing this, but this is really the first experience I've had being with students in a room with the artworks, looking at them, you know, up close, which is really the way it should be done. You know, I mean, for example, today I was teaching, and today's the first time that I had to teach in the classroom, and I couldn't actually take the students into the space to like see the works, because just of timing stuff, the museum wasn't open when class time was going on. And I was thinking, I just remember saying over and over again, when you guys see it on your own time, because they have to go see on their own time, when you see it, like, pay attention to this, pay attention to that, look for this, look for that, you know? And I think that that's just such a cool thing to be able to really enjoy and teach about art the way it's meant to be experienced. I mean, there's just so many artists and artistic practices that have emphasized like the physicality of the work. So in all reality, the way that we teach with PowerPoints, everything like that, don't get me wrong, I love PowerPoints. I think they're really helpful. But in all reality, that's not the way that art is supposed to be enjoyed. It's not the way that it's meant to be experienced. So while I feel like, you know, we're so lucky to have the internet and be able to share art on the vast scale that we do, it is a very different experience being in front of it, talking to the students about it, letting them really experience in real time, in real space.
That's awesome. It's such a good way to really experience the city too, because I'm sure you being in the city where most of this or some of this art was likely created also kind of adds to that context and like the feeling of really understanding what the art is, like who the artist was, what their life was like. I think that that just adds so much. Like you said, it's not in a PowerPoint. You can see it in real life, which definitely makes a difference, I'm sure. What has been your favorite thing about being in Italy so far?
The food. Is that, like, I feel like that's a lame answer, but it's
not at
the
all.
Food, really. Well, no, I mean the food, and really, I mean, you know, the typical thing, just really being here where the art is. One thing, I don't think I've mentioned it so far, is that this is actually my first time being in Italy myself. So a lot of these artworks, you know, I've seen a million times in the classroom, or I've read about them a million times, or I've heard about them or whatever. And this is the first time I'm experiencing a lot of them. You know, like we talk about Michelangelo's David, which is just, you know, the most quintessential Renaissance sculpture. This is the most important thing ever, but I've never seen it in real life, you know? So it's just interesting. I feel like I'm adding a little bit of authority to what I'm saying. If I'm teaching something, I could say, no, it really is this way. It really is, you know? So I feel like that is something that's really neat, is to, you know, feel like I said, just to have that experience face to face with these works and be able to have that kind of in my arsenal to help teach in the future as well.
Yeah, it's always awesome when you study something in the classroom and then you're able to go abroad and see it really come to life, whether it's art or language or food or whatever. It's just cool to have that immersive experience.
Yeah, most definitely.
So our last two questions, we want to ask you for some advice. So the first one, we want to ask, what advice do you have for other faculty who are considering teaching abroad?
I think that's an interesting question, because maybe I shouldn't think this way, but I feel so much the junior when I'm here. You know, all the instructors here either live here full time, they've done this several semesters, or they're instructors who've been doing this for over 30 years. So I feel completely out of my authority, out of, you know, I feel like they're all like, I have no advice for anybody because I'm just so new at coming to this. But I will say that the one thing that I feel like is unique and kind of like the strength that I have is that because I'm experiencing these things for myself the first time, I really can relate to the students' joy and the just like kind of the like that experience that they're having of seeing these things and being, you know, learning these things for the first time, and how unique that is and how special it is, considering that, you know, they are so young. I mean, I know that, you know, they're mostly over 18 and everything like that, but that's still very young. And these are really going to be life-changing experiences. And like I said, I mean, I still think about my study abroad experience all the time. You know, and I don't feel like I want to take that for granted. I want to really kind of soak that in when I see the students and have them soak it in. So to really just emphasize, like, this is really about the students and letting them have this really magical moment for them to learn and to grow, you know, academically, which is like obviously important, but also just as people. I feel like that's something that is important too. And I feel like is my goal, like as much as I want to teach about art, I feel like it's, you know, I would like to think that it's having an impact on the students as people too, not just like from an educational perspective, you know?
So reflecting a little bit more on your own study abroad experience and then also the students that you are teaching and impacting now. Do you have any other advice for students who are considering studying abroad?
Yeah, I feel like I have like my practical answer to that, and then I have my more like romantic or like spiritual response to that. I feel like the advice would be to do it. I mean, just absolutely do it. It's an investment. I know that one of the biggest things, because when I was working at the study abroad office, I was, you know, for a time basically in charge of helping facilitate the experiences for people going to German study abroad. And, you know, I'd come across a lot of students who are just like, I don't know, the money, you know, and I relate to that. I understand that, you know, it's not like that's an invalid concern, but I will say it's an investment in your future. And kind of some advice that I, or like kind of standard that I've gone on or followed in my life, is I try to always travel when it seems the most convenient, or if it's like the cheapest it's ever going to be, if that makes any sense. This will be the most convenient and cheapest it will ever be for you to travel abroad. When you're at this age, you know, you're in a position where you can be in a country for 6 weeks and you don't have to take time off of work. You don't have to, maybe you have to take time off of work, but in terms of like, if one day you get a career, you know, you're not taking 6 weeks off of work. People can't really do that most of the time. You're getting credit for school, which is huge. I mean, that's in and of itself. You're being productive while you're here. And most of these museums will get you in either free or for a reduced price at the age that you're at. So for me, like, the advice would just be to go, from just a purely kind of productive perspective. I know that for me, like, I eventually got another internship at another museum, and I know for a fact, I mean, the people that hired me told me I got it because I had this other internship experience, you know. And then when I eventually got into grad school, I know that I'm sure part of it is the fact that I did this study abroad. So, you know, it helps even just from like a perspective of like your career. And then, yeah, the more romantic or spiritual element of it would be, you know, this is a life-changing experience. So don't underestimate kind of the impact it's going to have on you as a person. And, you know, kind of let, you know, if you end up doing it, let the experience dictate the experience. That sounds so cliche. I don't know how else to say it. But, you know, when you're here, you kind of let yourself, because sometimes you have these ideas of how it's going to go, but really you show up and you let yourself experience it. You know, you learn the best places to go eat, or you meet people that are here you wouldn't expect to meet, or you go places that you wouldn't expect to go. And really it's those things that you don't expect that are the things that have the greatest impact on you, I think. At least that's been the case for me. So just do it. That's my advice. Do it. You won't regret it.
Absolutely. That's great advice. I love that you touched on, you know, that this is the time to go, and that also it can help your career and it will change you as a person. I think all of us who have studied abroad have experienced that change and that shift in our mindset as well. So love that advice. Well, Cindy, thank you so much for talking with us today. It's been a real pleasure.
Definitely. Thank you guys so much. This is really fun. I like to reflect on the experience. It kind of reminds me how lucky I am and how grateful I am to be given this opportunity to begin with.
Before we disembark, let's talk about the next season of the Knowles Abroad podcast. This is the last episode of season 4, and we're looking forward to the next season of the podcast coming in the fall. As we wrap up this season, we would like to invite you to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. We also want your input for season 5.
If there is a topic you want to hear about on the podcast, or if you have a story you would be interested in sharing, let us know. You can reach out by sending us a message on social media or by emailing ip-media@fsu.edu.
Thanks to Cindy for talking with us today. And as always, thanks for listening.
This podcast is a production of FSU International Programs. The music for this podcast was composed by John Bartman. Our logo was designed by Vanessa Gire, who also does our sound engineering. Editing, transcription, and research is done by us, Hannah Meister and Zoe Crook.